Welcome to episode 43 of the Better With Running podcast. I'm Matt Davey, one of the coaches at Run to PB. And as always, I'm joined by another Run to PB coach and 225 marathoner, an absolute Melbourne Uni veteran. Everyone knows him around the traps there. Zacha Newman, how you going, mate?
Thank you, Mattress. Yeah, I don't know about you sliding this veteran thing in, but yes, I'll cop that. But you must be getting up there as well. How many years do you reckon you've run for the Frankston? Well, you've had a couple of clubs, haven't you? You've been traded.
yeah, I did actually. Yeah, my original club was Oakley Athletic Club.
Yeah.
My old man was a member there he was a life member, a good 40, 50 years, I reckon. And then I made the move over to Frankston when I started training down a lot more down this way, and so being a member of the Bale Pigs ever since. I reckon it's good eight, ten years.
Yeah,
it's been a while. It's been a good ride, and we're on a bit of a recruiting drive at the moment, trying to get a few more people along,
throwing the checkbook around.
it's no Melbourne Uni checkbook, but looking forward to XCR, which
coming around quickly, isn't it, mate? Yeah, but great to be back on again, mate. And following up from the marathon episode last week, I think we cracked a 209 or 210 minutes.
That's a good solid long run.
Yeah. I'm not quite up to that for the long run, but I know a few people that listen would have got the whole journey. But we've got a big episode. We've got another cracker here. We've got some coverage from Richmond, the Tiger Five that we were both out at. Out in a bit of darkness there, mate. There was some drama in that that night when the lights went out. That was an interesting one. We'll talk about that a bit later. Also I caught up with Sophie Fitt, one of the Run to PB coaches, and obviously gun marathoner that's she's been on the show a couple of times. And she had her athletes go around this morning in a time trial, which numerous Run to PB athletes were participating. And I had a bit of a pacing gig there, Matt. And so bit to chat about, mate.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. And talk a bit about how our progress has gone throughout the week.
How are you traveling, mate? I've been, your Strava went a little quiet there.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. So, after we got off air last time, on the Sunday, I woke up with a bit of a head cold on the Monday morning, and it was Labor Day, wasn't it, on that Monday?
So
I was umming and ahhing about whether I'd do a run, and I decided to get out for 30 minutes, and so I did that, and it still wasn't feeling great. I didn't feel, the run didn't make it worse or anything, but I thought, probably should do the right thing and get the COVID test. So did that, like not expecting it to be positive. And sure enough, it came back, pretty much 24 hours later, and it was negative. But I was battling for a bit there with just, I guess, that, that feeling of just being full up. It didn't get into my chest or anything. It was just more of a head cold, but it took a few days to go away. And I ended up, because I find that I can really, if I jump on the treadmill, I can really just turn the legs over nice and slowly. When I step outside, I just get into a bit more of a rhythm, and I ended up working probably a little bit harder, so I can really control it and control the gradient on the treadmill. So I ended up doing about, 40 kilometers on the treadmill throughout the week.
You don't use that like a manual setting there to upload onto Strava, or
I had been doing that, but for some the watch isn't recording it accurately at all across to Strava, so I think I was wearing my watch, but I just went off the time off the treadmill.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So yeah, that's why, hence why there was a few days of
bit of radio silence. Yeah.
Silence on the treadmill. But yeah, I just wanted to keep ticking the legs over, really keep the heart rate low and not press at all. And just let the body recover. Whilst I was sort of fighting off that infection and yeah, eventually. And what I've heard is that a lot of people have come down
sick. Yeah, there's a lot going around. I think maybe just what the year of like everyone being indoors and, you know, not getting anything. I mean, being protected, and now it's we're all out and about and being a bit more exposed to different things. It's starting to kick off again.
Yeah, and that's what just got a bit obviously caught up in that, and but yeah, it wasn't anything like the last time I was sick when
that's lucky.
Yeah, so that was didn't pass out or anything, didn't need to call an ambulance, so that was handy. And then so I ended up back ending the week quite well. And I got only got one session out on the Friday afternoon after work. I got out for a session I like to do leading up to a half marathon, doing the 3 10-minute off a 3-minute float jog.
Yeah.
I got out to, I was doing it around Seaford Wetlands, and then I parked the car and I'd check the temperature, and it was 31 degrees out there. I coach a lot of people up in Brisbane, and the heat and humidity up there is insane. Like they're probably laughing at me complaining at 31 degrees, and you know, it wasn't that humid. I haven't had any opportunity, or we really haven't had any down here to acclimatize to those sort of conditions. So
yeah,
I really felt it in that session. So the aim was 3 10-minute at just quicker than half marathon pace. That was the aim. And just trying to dial in and keep them fairly consistent. When I started the warm-up and looked down maybe 10 minutes in, and my heart rate was I think it was 165 or something, and usually it's like probably more likely around 145-ish for a warm-up. And then so I knew that I might have been in for a pretty tough day, so the aim was to keep it conservative. But I'd also the night before I'd just got delivered from the running company at Yarraville some alpha flies.
I heard about this purchase.
yeah, I wanted to give them a test, that purchase. Yeah, it was got me pretty excited.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to give them a bit of a test. And as soon as I started in them, they did feel good. They felt bouncy. And I was like, I'm just gonna
roll with it.
Yeah, just go along with it and test it out. I think the first one came
out. That's all road, that course you're doing there.
All on asphalt.
Yeah, I think we've been out there together, haven't we, done workout?
We did like 2 by 10-minute or something like that. It was a really good tester for those shoes. They did feel a lot different, surprisingly different to the sort of next percent feel of it, and just the
AirPods.
Out the front there.
Sammy the shoe dog's going to he's probably throwing his phone in the river as he listens to this.
I'm not surprised if he is. They did feel very different, and there's a sweet spot in the shoe that you got to land on to really get the most out of them. And the first rep went pretty well. I can't remember I don't think it's averages or anything, but
sort of that 3:15 pace.
Started around 3:15 pace. And then the second rep I started about the same, started at 3:14, then went 3:18, 3:20, so I got 3.08, 3.04, so I was fading a little bit. And this location at Seaford Wetlands, it's a bit of a horseshoe shape style setup. And on the other side of the where you start from, on the other side of kind of the horseshoe, it was direct sunlight. And as soon as I got into that, I just started cooking and just faded, and it just really got to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I struggled from then. And then the last rep, I got, 2.95. So I knew that last rep, I was really going to have to back it off a lot in order to make sure I managed to get through the time. And just,
Did you have any, you wouldn't have had any fluid out there? Like, you wouldn't have any drinks at all?
No, nothing.
Because, I mean, it's been humid in Melbourne as well, but then we haven't really had the direct sun or the hot days. And I think it's, that combination. Obviously, I was out there a bit later and it was wasn't like that temperature you were talking about. But and during the day, like, had you been drinking a lot?
Bits and pieces. Like, I taught all day. I hadn't had any classes off. So, I did get through my whole drink bottle, but normally on a day like that, I'd almost probably prefer to get through 2 drink bottles. Especially leading into a session like that. So I definitely felt parched at the end. And went down to the beach straight after. Gemma brought down some fish and chips and a beer. So that was a good way to recover, really.
Nice bit of recovery in the water, or did you get out?
Yeah, got it in the water. Got in the water for a little bit and was quite a bit rusty after that session though. And woke up the next day and I was pretty rough. I like that workout. It's
a cracking workout.
Not just mentally, but physically. Not just physically, but mentally as well. You really got to talk yourself through it. And there's moments in that session where you are battling, and I just try to focus on what I've got to do in that moment. Like, you got to focus on just keep taking a step forward rather than thinking, geez, I've got another 8 minutes of this rep left. Yeah,
100%. Solo.
Solo.
So again, that's another element that makes it tougher when you got those longer reps and you're out there solo, as opposed to when you're in a pack or thinking about a race day where you can actually concentrate on other people and all the rest of it.
Yeah, and you get that nice sit on someone, you can just switch off and just go, I'm just going to follow these people. Yeah, exactly.
And the race kit, the kit you had, obviously the shoes were caught a few people's eye, but also had the oat running socks out for a test drive, Run to PB singlet, and even the Run to PB fractal collab hat. So it looked the part, mate.
Yeah, I thought I'd suit up, pretty much racing kit on for this one. I find that if you're not feeling amazing, even when I'm going to work, if I'm not feeling awesome, then I might chuck a suit on or something, and I'd feel great. Like, and same with running. Like, you thought, I'm just going to dress up for the occasion. It's like, I feel heaps better now. I know it's just a mental thing that I seem to do. So yeah, chucked it all on, and the shoes felt good. Running company Yarraville looked after me well and sent them down. I think I ordered them on the maybe even on the Wednesday. Got them on the Thursday, and so I could bang out the session on the Friday. So yeah, quick turnaround.
Nice one, mate. And then so you rounded out the week, including the treddy, cracked the ton, raised the Garmin.
Yeah. I think it was like 66-ish on the 66 on the land base running, and then on the treddy about 40, something like that. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So I mean, considering where you're at the start of the week and you've obviously got on top of that and then been able to hit some good sessions, and you got your long run done today.
We had a bit of a group down Red Hill down at God's Country. And we're running in between all
your wines down there afterwards, or
it was tempting. It was very tempting actually down the bottom there. We hit the there's a 6k climb, and we hit that. Like, right, that's basically the last climb, the last 25 minutes or something of the run. And it's a great way to finish. But right down the bottom, it was a very potent smell coming off one of the wineries down there. I think Stonia's winery might be. And obviously it seems to be maybe harvesting season or fermenting season right now. It was very potent, but I was like, oh man.
It'd be nice to come. And you had a bit of a crew. You had Ben and Karina. Like, Karina outdipped you. Looks like she's done 4 4:27s. for 28, so maybe she got away in the end.
Yeah, favourable watch, I reckon. She was strong as over the hills. I was I was sort of suffering a little bit on that last climb. Yeah, she's
cleaned up like 3 course records in that run.
Yeah,
killed it.
Yep.
Big ones as well. So yeah, look out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, she's she's tracking well after that race on, and we'll talk about that later. The Richmond 5K race. So yeah, good week. Yeah, struggled at the start, but back end was good, and yeah, heading towards entered all Hobart half marathon. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, nice. How many weeks is that off?
Good question.
April 4?
Yeah, it must be 3 weeks then.
Yeah. I think it is. Because not far off actually. So you'll a couple more weeks off and then a bit of a mini taper.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah. So yeah, couple more hopefully strong weeks. Don't get sick, don't get any niggles or injuries, and be on the line, fresh, ready to go.
Yeah, nice one.
And what about you, mate? You had a productive week. There's a few sessions in there and a strong long run.
Yeah, I've good mileage in the end, and a bit of a different week for me, because I trained on some my usual structures Tuesday, Saturday. I mixed it up this week and did kind of a solid one on Tuesday. Out to 2K reps. So for me, that's a progression from sort of heading towards that, and obviously the marathon down the track, but more that 10K half marathon workouts, and 4x2K is a workout I really enjoy leading into half marathons, and just getting a bit more distance in the legs and working a bit harder over that session. So yeah, I was really happy with that one.
So is that a progression from, I know you like, you've done in the past sort of the 4x5 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's a progression from that.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm going to sort of every few weeks, you'll see another rep sort of go on the back of that, or maybe a slight tinkering with it, but out to 6, maybe 7K by the end, in a marathon style workout, whether that's included then on a Sunday run or as a standalone workout.
Would you would you decrease the pace as you push them out longer, or you'll try to maintain sort of that sort of what just quicker than sort of 10K pace really?
Yeah, like if you're doing maybe the 6 to 7, it might sort of be more at half or even out to marathon, closer to that marathon pace, or in between, I would say, the 2K, because it's not quite long enough. Like when you start doing the 3, 4K reps and things like that, that'll be more at marathon pace, but this will stay in that half to 10K zone.
Mm.
Off 90 seconds as well, like it's good bang for your buck, that session. Like, you've 3:25s for 30 minutes when you just keep rolling through. So it's doing it on the road as well. And it's not a hilly section, it's just along the boulevard. It's just can work into that sort of 5-6 minute and then take back off and then get going again. And as the weeks progress, you start doing that for up to 40, 50 minutes. It's a good workout leading into the longer races.
Yeah, absolutely. And just off that 90 seconds, and it's a 90 seconds, you're not standing, are you? You're still jogging through.
Yeah, you're still jogging. Like, I don't know what the floats are, you're still at under 4 minute Ks. So you're not completely standing still. And then you kind of work back into it, and felt good on felt in control, and I think that progression from when you're doing the early on, like I've done 4x4 minutes, then out to 4x5, and then now the 2K, you're starting to get in that 6 minute plus territory, 6:20, 6:30s. I was really happy with that, and just happy with the way body's moving for those reps. Like, you know, I'm in control without sort of really fighting it towards the end. So, yeah, that's
solo.
Yeah, that's solo. Couldn't really work it in with Frankie, who's he's sort of gearing up for some track, or just finishing off. He was out at the Tiger 5 track race, and we're kind of on a little slightly different schedule at the moment on terms of training. So, yeah, that was solo. But yeah, again, I mean, that sort of 30 minutes as you get further out doing that stuff solo, just it gets you really strong mentally as well.
Yep.
So, came off that really well. And then knowing that, the week was slightly different, that I was going to be jumping in later on the Sunday with a bit of a pacing gig at Soph's time trial. I was helping out one of my athletes, Will Goodall, who was he was coming along as well to do that. So I had to sort of look at that as, I guess, a bit of a three-quarter session and then do another one on Friday, as opposed to sort of doing a workout Saturday and then and hitting that on Sunday. It would have probably been too much load, really, and too much intensity in 2 days. So decided to do a pickup run on the Friday, and haven't done. I was chatting to you, Mattress, about that, because I've, like I said, I've always done sort of a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, or Tuesday, Saturday program, and doing a session on a Friday. It took me a little while to get going, because I think my body is just in sync in that, you know, Friday it almost knows, okay, Saturday is going to be a session, and long run Sunday, just take it really easy on a Friday. So it did take a little while to get going. In fact, on Thursday, I ran just an easy hour and I felt really good on the Thursday. And I was actually running out from Richmond, from Collingwood track, and went out to Princes Park. And I don't know if people know that trail on there, Merri Creek. You do a few traffic lights, and sort of I'd go for a K, and then I had this guy that was sort of surging with me, and then we'd always catch up at the traffic lights, and then it became a bit of a impromptu, like, I don't know, the competitive instincts. I'm only running 4:10s, but like I just couldn't get away from this bloke. And so, but I felt good. And
nod, say hello.
Yeah, I gave him the nod, but he wasn't interested in the nod. It was really? More of a, it was like a drag off the line every time we'd hit a traffic light. So
competitive vibes.
A little bit. But yeah, it was like one of those things where you feel good, and I was like feeling good running 4:15s that day. And then the next day doing this pickup run, I would start, you know, I was like running 4:30s, and I was like, this feels tough compared to yesterday. It's just what happens in running. Like some days you just have it where you just feel good over the ground, and then the next day you just your body's like, okay, I just need to relax today. And then eventually I got working into it and actually finished the session really well in the pickup run.
You did,
not sure in the end, did a bit longer than what I've done previously. I've sort of gone the hour pickup runs now out to, I think I ended up doing 70 minutes. And it's a strange, like, doing it on the Friday at 5:30 at night.
And because like historically your sessions for what the majority of your running career, Fridays will have been an easy job leading into a Saturday session. And so like I remember when I started doing the Friday sessions, it was just like it was a mental thing to almost get over.
Yeah.
Because I think I'd done it in the past where maybe I had a Saturday race and I'd do an easy, a Sunday race and I'd do an easy session on the Friday. And it was just always really hard. And I think it was just a mental barrier that I had to work through, because it was just like, oh, Friday is an easy job. And that's what it always seemed to be for, you know, like 15 years or something like that. So I think that when you said that, I'm like, that is it's a strange thing. It's like doing a session on a Friday, even though it's just another day of the week.
Like, and some days it's rest day for me. Like in a cycle of a month or 6 weeks, I might say, you know, a Friday could, you know, there's a rest day in there on a Friday, or only 30 minutes, you know, 60 minutes would be a big run on a Friday generally. So, you know, I might only go on average 45 minutes on a Friday. So, yeah, big change. But, yeah, it was also knowing, okay, Saturday I'm just going to be cruising. And I ran with Frankie on Saturday. And that was kind of nice feeling just to, you know, have a Saturday where you're not absolutely gone for the rest of the day. So yeah, got that one done and was looking forward to helping out Will in that in the 10K time trial.
Yep. Yeah, and that I'm just going back to that progression run. You've had a lot of success with that one in the past where you're not necessarily getting the times down, you know, even to the like 320s or anything like that. You're just holding a strong pace for a large amount of time. You seem to get such a big a response from that type of workout. Like your body really seems to adapt well to it, and that strong aerobic sort of running that you've got there, especially like you, I know you did a large number of them before you smashed your PB for the half marathon, and it obviously worked well for you.
Yeah, it is. It gives me a lot of confidence, that session, and I just find the time on the feet, like it's that build up, it's that slow build up where you just keep, you know, turning the screws on, and then as you get fitter through the weeks and then you throw them on, you find that you sit in at a certain pace and for either a bit longer or at that pace it feels more comfortable. And I think mentally you get really, really big gains from being able to be on the not completely out on your feet, but in that strong, comfortable, you know, strong running. And it's so similar to the marathon feels, without having to go out and try and run at that marathon pace in a workout. It just gives you a way you can get through it and take some learnings from it and practice it without completely banging your body up. So yeah, it's a workout I'll use throughout this in this build up and continue to do so. Yeah
and then Sunday headed out to Albert Park to pace one of your athletes, Will.
Yeah, so we'll chat in greater detail with Soph a bit later. I'm going to catch up with her and to talk through that, how the rest of the athletes go. But Will's he's training for Gold Coast Marathon as well, and he's got a few events coming up that we're going to start targeting. And part of that is just getting out and doing some harder efforts and effectively, you know, just practicing those times where you've got to really get into it, and it's 6-7K and you've got to fight a bit, and that's what's going to happen today. And we were hoping to run under 38 minutes, and we're pleased to stop clock at about 37:33, I believe, or 32. And Will was great. Yeah, we got through a couple of rough patches and finished strong. And we originally planned to get this on the road and use the GP circuit, but unfortunately there's some roadworks going on, so we just had to use the gravel around the lake, which isn't as conducive to fast times. So conditions were good, but yeah, I think getting on the road is a different sensation, and you get a bit more benefit from that, obviously. So there's more in store for Will on that one, I think.
So did you, when you were running, was Will sitting off you, or you're running side by side?
Nah, he pretty much, after about a K, I just sit in. Obviously, I'm not the biggest sight screen going around, but I was able to just use me as a, real, and there was a crosswind, wasn't providing a heap of protection, but enough there just that he could feed off me. And part of that pacing element is you just takes out the you just sit in there and relax, and you just focus on the person, let them do the work, and rather than getting caught up in your own thoughts or whether you're to push now. And I was just, you know, I was talking to him for most of it, and you know, not continuously, but just at points that we could we broke it up as well, so we're kind of using points to say, come on, let's just get to this corner, and then we'll have a bit of a relax and then go again and reset. And yeah, it's just getting into these race kind of modes is it's really important, especially off the back of last year. We just haven't had enough opportunities to do it. So yeah, it was good fun, and we ended up did it with a warm down and all the rest, but it still got 16 odd k out for the day. So it was a good morning.
Good day. And looking at your splits, like you've your pacing job there has been pretty impressive, Zacha. There was no Brady's well known bank time early. It was the slowest split was the first K. And then yeah. You've held from the second K through till the ninth K. You've held between 3:44 and 3:46. So a 2 second differential between each of those Ks, and then bang the last K home in 3:40. So
yeah, Will was like, oh, let's try and go out in
Zacha.
Now Will was like, let's go out in 40. I said, no, let's work into it. Let's aim for 3:50 first K, and then after, let's break it in 10-minute lots, and then after 10 minutes, we're feeling good. We'll just wind it up slightly. And we got in that middle period, and there was a couple of instances where we sort of were dropping a little bit, and then I just sort of got him to close the gap. And the goal was to finish strong and finish really positive as well. I didn't want to sort of go out and blow the doors off and have that. And a negative experience when you get to 8K and just the death march home. Yeah. We wanted to be positive and have that last K our fastest. And 3:40, he closed well though. So it made it a lot easier to pace.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Will, no, it must have been, pretty excited. And you're obviously an excited coach. Getting to witness that and see how be there in the moment for those times where, it can get a little bit hard. And you can get a little bit negative, and you got to sort of talk your way through it. And it obviously paid off.
Yeah, it was great. And we'll hear a bit more from some of the other athletes there that some of Soaps and Brady had Marcus, one of his athletes. So yeah, good morning. Good to catch up with some Run to BB athletes. So yeah, very good stuff.
That's it. And then another event that was held during the week was the Thursday night, Tiger 5, where we had some of our team Run to PB athletes hitting the track to test themselves out over that 5 kilometre, the 12 and a half laps. Really well put on event by the Richmond Harriers Athletic Club. I'm not sure how long it's been going for. I know I went to it last year as well. The event's all, like, it's just a nice, relaxed event.
Mm. I think Joji, who's a Richmond runner, he had a hand in it, I reckon, 3-4 years ago when they might have done there was some sort of knockout type scenario where they did a elimination type event, and then they evolved it into a race, 5K race with obviously elites and then graded. So they've done well. Like, it's just continued to grow from year to year, and just give an opportunity not just for club runners but from other runners that are just been at park runs and almost new into that side of running. I know for us, we had a nice little turnout Run to PB athletes and some people debuting on the track.
Yeah, so one of your athletes, Trivis, you were out there to see him run his PB.
Yeah, it was a big run from him. He broke 22. That was the goal. Just got there, 21:58. It was a bit nerve-wracking, the last lap. We had a bit of a game plan. We've had some game plans into the last his park run. He ran sort of 22:30-odd previously. And I was like, let's have a crack at that 22 on the track in a race setting. But I think it was difficult to get a consistent group because you've got some, like I mentioned, sort of people who are just their first time on the track. So it's hard to gauge your pacing. And he did go out a lot quicker than the instructions, which he openly admitted to. And I kind of did predict, I said, the adrenaline does kick in sometimes in these races. And we were hoping to go out at a sort of 4:15, 4:20 pace, and he was 4:01 through the first K. I thought, which this could be a tough. And to his credit, he got back onto the pace set, pace planned, and finished off strong. It was a tough way to run it, and I think there's more in the locker there when we get the pacing right. But great running and a good experience to kind of get into that race mode and find out, how to sort of plan your race and go after it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was a great run by Truist. And then Gemma had one of her athletes, Laura, knock off, I think it was a 3 or 4 second.
Yeah, 3 or 4 seconds.
3 or 4 second PB, 20:39.
Yeah,
so she's been training really well and she was really excited to have a great run and just that good experience getting on the track going around and like you said, you know, you've got quite a few people in the race itself. So
yeah,
it was have either someone to run with or someone to target ahead. And she pulled off a great run there. So that was massive. Congratulations to Laura.
Nice one. And Tim Smith or Big Cliff on his Instagram handle. He 18:46, one of Brady's athletes. So he had a PB as well. So massive, massive.
Wasn't a massive PB. I think he was like I'm pretty sure he said like 19:22.
Yeah. It was a huge PB.
Yeah, huge PB. And I'm pretty sure it was also his first time running around the track since the high school days for him.
Yeah, he did mention that. Yeah, it was great run from him because I know Tim's he's been run to PB since like 2018 because I remember he. Yeah, massive breakthrough over the 10K at the Melbourne Marathon. And he signed up and it was like 12 weeks. He took like 7 minutes off his off his time. And he's just gone from strength to strength. And, yeah, good to see him out on the track, giving it a go as well.
Yeah.
Great running from Tim. Elliot Wilcox, 18:16 PB for him as well. Elliot's from my neck of the woods. He's on the Gardner's Creek Trail a fair bit. And, yeah, good to see him out at the track.
Might be stealing some of your CRs soon.
Yeah, I know. It's going well.
And then also we had Michael Bishop run 18:15. So that wasn't a PB, you know, from Michael. And, we caught him. I caught up with him just before the race.
Yeah.
He was in the ASICS meta races.
Yeah, meta racer, yeah.
Unfortunately... 6 weeks ago, he fell off his windsurfer or paddleboard.
Yeah.
Damaged his shoulder and he's only just been back jogging. So it was great for him to get out there and have a crack and
gutsy running, yeah.
Yeah. And because when we're watching he was he ran through the field like
He ran really smart. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He just paced himself so well and it would have been a great feeling just ticking past. Quite a few people and finishing so strong. And, so that was a great run by Michael.
Yeah. No, some great results. And there's a few that came in over the weekend. Like, obviously, there's races that have, track races, a couple of those track races in there, but also some fun runs kicking off. And we won't go through all of the results that came out over the weekend, but I did want to give a shout out to Charles Jacobson, who ran a big PB at the Western Creek Half Marathon just this morning. Ninth and a PB ran hour 20, 30, one of Andy Buchanan's athletes. So, cracking run from Charles. And, he'd be stoked with that.
Yeah, that's a massive run. Western Creek Half. So, average pace 3:49.
Yeah, it's a big run, yeah. He blasted that one. And then, and it's just like park runs obviously really building again. They mattress. You're seeing a lot of our athletes being able to get out and, throw in, some strong training and then test themselves over the park runs and right around the nation. Even last week we had in WA, I know one of Chris O'Neill's athletes, Andy Lane, he rolled like an 18:56 and I don't think he'd had a race in 6 months. So it was a cracking run. And he leads into the Gold Coast Marathon as well.
Yeah, no. Great run. And then we've got a few people going out for the Gold Coast Marathon, so it could be a big crew of Run to PB athletes rolling around the marathon. I had a couple up in Brisbane who Tom and Katie both ran at the New Farm Park Run and they had both had fantastic results and I was really impressed with both of those. And I know I'd set Tom a bit of a task of pulling back his pace for the first K because he loves going out hard early.
And, Brady Thelfall banking time.
Yeah, Brady Thelfall banking time. kind of kind of play. And so then I told him to try to head out a bit slower around 350 pace and then work it down from there. And so he absolutely nailed the
instructions,
the instructions, executed the race perfectly. I think his first K was 349 and then improved a second for the following three Ks and then kicked home. I think it was a 338 or 339, which is normally what he'd go out at. So he kind of turned it around from what he's usually go out at 338 and then sort of slowly pull back pace under that fatigue. But this time he sort of did the opposite and finished really strong. It was the fastest park run time done for a couple of years. So he's absolutely flying at the moment. And also looking for the Gold Coast Marathon along with Katie Dalhill, who ran her fastest time at the same park run, the New Farm Park Run. She was first female over the line as well. And she's also heading towards Gold Coast Marathon. So
that Brisbane crew up there, they're going well and all roads lead to Gold Coast for them. Yeah, because Tommy's got the break. What's he called? The Breaking 2+1 project that he's pumping out. So he's really really going well with that training.
Yeah, that was when he put that out, the Breaking 2+1. I was like, that's actually well really done. Cool. I'm impressed.
Nice one. But it's great to see, like we mentioned earlier about XCR kicking off. There'll be races there. There's fun runs are starting to sort of come out, and obviously Melbourne Marathon came out with their new Nike as their sponsor, and people talking about that one. And I know Run for the Kids has been rescheduled. This, even going back to that Tiger 5, there's I think rounding out this kind of track or summer is there's another meet at Collingwood, which is being put on by the Collingwood Harriers, which is the Collingwood Classic. So that's again along the same lines. They're sort of targeting just making it open for park runners all the way through to the elites. I know it's a good opportunity to obviously get in there as a graded race and then hang around and watch the elites go down a bit later. I know actually Brady, is he confirmed for that one?
Yeah, I think Brady's heading down there. Yep.
Yeah.
For the 5K.
Nice. Well, but there's going to be a bunch of Run to PB athletes. I know looking at that 5K as an option, even the 10K, there's a 10K on the track. So, definitely something worth looking at. I know you can still enter, I believe. You'd have to get into it quickly. But it's on, what's the date? It's on March 25, isn't it, Matthews?
Thursday, March 25th.
Yeah. So it'll be at night under lights or in the evening. And facebook.com/Collingwood Classic. We'll put it in the show notes, but definitely something to consider if it's a race that you want to, get on the track as we sort of head towards winter and move to road races.
You wouldn't be tempted?
I'm going to be in Sydney for a couple of days beforehand with work. So don't know. I'll see how it's going to go with the program and everything. But I did cross my mind to jump in a 5K and just roll around because there's no shoe policy in place for this one.
It's, so the calves will be okay. You'll be
I'm actually a bit more comfortable with the fact that you don't have to spike up. So potentially I'll have a look how it unfolds for the next week, and if I can slot it in, I'll be out there though. And I don't know if you're going to be out there, but I'll at least be out there running in some capacity, whether it's a group easy run beforehand and then watch the races or jump on the track.
Yeah, awesome.
Nice one. Hey, Maddie, we mentioned it earlier about that your 10-minute reps session and then the photo that was on your Strava. You were flaunting the oat running socks, and we were lucky enough to get some pairs sent to the coaches, and myself and you have been test driving them thanks to thanks to the brand manager, Omen, and the team at Oat Running. Yeah, what are your thoughts, mate? I thought we'd give a little bit of a review after we've both run a few races and sessions in them.
Yeah, really thankful and for Oat Running to send out the socks for us to have a try. And I first put them on for my session last week for the 30-minute fartlek where I did 1 minute on 30-second float. And I feel, first of all, I really, when I went to order them, there was the navy blue with the white stripe.
They've got a few colorways, haven't they? Because you've got the navy crew, there's a white ankle, and then the charcoal crew.
Yep.
So I ended up going the charcoal crew, but yeah, you went the navy.
I really like the look of the navy.
It's
with the cool white stripe around the top. Not that I'm a Carlton supporter or anything. they were exceptionally comfy socks. I guess they're kind of like a performance sock.
Yes.
And the test really was on the 3x10s because it was so hot, and you know, you start sweating a lot, and when you sweat a lot, then you can get the blisters. And so it was a good session to try them through and put the paces through. So it didn't end up with any blisters. Just a real sort of plush feel. Good ride, stylish. And was really wrapped with how my feet pulled up after that. So yeah, I'm a big fan of trying out socks, and I like the feel of the longer socks. I'm not really an ankle sock kind of person. I don't know if you are, Zach. I think you don't mind the ankle sock.
I was pretty open with Omid and I early when we were chatting about socks, and I probably don't put a lot of emphasis on it. I have had some different socks over the time, but I'm not a big sort of sock junkie. But now that I've worn a sock of this quality, I'm like, geez, yeah, I've probably been selling myself short here, because I did feel a real difference in wearing a really good sock. So I've got some socks, like I've raced marathons and race days in, which are better, but everyday runs and things like that, I haven't been too fussed about. But then, yeah, getting in these ones, it made a difference. And I know the guys, obviously they're a Melbourne-based company, but they're using a family-run business over in the coast of Portugal, of all places, which I know the guys spent like maybe a year or so researching and testing and sampling, and they're obviously runners themselves, so they knew what they were after. And you can see, the detail that they've gone into to get the right sock here and to go for that performance angle. It really came through for me. And right, even down to the package, Matty, you were probably pretty impressed with that as well. It was a cool little packet came in. You got the environmentally friendly, it was an environmentally friendly box, but you also got like a laundry bag as well, which was a nice touch. And a card in there that tells you what they're made from, how to care for them, and how to use them. So, yeah, good on them for going to that extra detail. I think it's, makes a difference. And, I wore them at the race I beat you in.
Yeah, Sandy Point. I didn't.
Yeah. So I was saying that was the difference. So
you did mention that. You're like, I think the sock might have been the actual difference here. Everything else was the same.
Yeah. And I actually wore them again today for the pacing gig with Will. And I found you don't even, it's that comfortable. You don't really, it's like they fit so well and snug, and especially in the, when you're wearing a performance shoe as well, you just want everything to be just sort of like, I don't know, tight, and just you don't actually have any kind of bunching or anything like that. So I was really impressed with it.
It's like what I was saying before, when you if you're not, say, feeling 100%, you put something nice on like that, it actually lifts your mood up a bit, and you're like, I feel really good now. It's a bit of a like that slight 1% change can really make a difference. So I was very impressed by the sock, and looking forward to continuing to wear them.
Good stuff. So we'll drop a link in there, but thanks again for running, and it's good on the Melbourne group of Melbourne runners who are sort of looking at this, yeah, this product with through runners' eyes and really going after it with detail. And I really enjoyed that that sock. Sophie Fitt, welcome back to the Better With Running podcast. How are you?
I'm very well, Zacha. How's this? Twice in one day. How lucky.
I know. Great to see you this morning. And I was stoked to come along and catch up with you yourself and some of your athletes.
Yeah, I was delighted to have you along. Very pleased when you shot me a message to let me know you'd be coming down. We had a great morning this morning just to fill everyone in. I organised a time trial for my athletes, or my Melbourne-based athletes. The aim was to have a 10-kilometre time trial around the roads of Albert Park, utilising the Grand Prix track. One lap, we're pretty confident, is right on 5K, so a two-lap trot. Just to, I guess the objective when I sort of thought about it was, I've had a couple of runners do sort of events like the Portsea Twilight, the Soul Motive Sandy Point race just recently. I've got two girls, Summer and Jen, running the Hobart Marathon, and then a lot who are just in not no man's land, but just haven't had a race in the, obviously, for a long time, or not even a park run or anything. So I just thought March was just an obvious time to slot something in. And yeah, I just thought, why not? It's a lot of my athletes I haven't met face to face, you know, which is the world of online running coaching. So put the idea out there and got a fantastic response. So I think it was eight of my athletes. One, Amy, came down from Ballarat, which was great. Carrie came all the way from, she's sort of way out east, sort of almost at the Yarra Valley. It was a nearly an hour drive for her. And then a lot of my athletes are dotted around Melbourne. So they all made it in. I did a bit of a recce on Friday morning and realised the road was construction, which sort of disappointed me in the first impression. Like, my first initial thought was a bit of disappointment. And then, as I sort of said to the team this morning, that's distance running. Just so much gets thrown in our way, and we have no control, but we can always control our attitude around things that happen, and you just decide to switch and make it a great opportunity to run a fast time on, you know, the gravel. Secretly, there was one part of me that was like, no one's going to get hit by a car. So
yeah,
No one's going to get hit, and I'm really happy.
Yeah, and the cyclists on there as well. You've done sessions around Albert Park. It can get a bit hairy sometimes. So
get a bit hairy.
Take that element out of it. But just on that little, that rev up, and it was a rousing kind of little speech that you gave. It was a short one, but it did. I like the way you framed that was running, that, you know, that this is what happens where things just out of our control happen. And, you know, whether there's a course change or something happens on the day. And in this case, it was a change of surfaces, and it was great to see everyone kind of adapt in the way you put it in perspective as well.
Yeah, no, they didn't blink an eye, just got on with the job. And yeah, I mean, it was probably how I imagined it in terms of everyone getting spaced out super quickly. But I was just delighted. Everyone gave it a really good shot, had a really good crack. And time trials are really hard. Doesn't matter if you've been running 2 years or 22 years. Time trials are really hard to gauge that exertion. And they're really challenging. And a couple of my athletes, well, actually a few of them, probably most, were pretty nervous going into it. And I think it's a lot around the words time trial. Like, it's an anxious sort of statement. And, you know, you do everything you can as a coach to just put them at ease and make them feel as comfortable as they can. But yeah, it's a tough thing to do. It was a windy morning. It's always windy down there. But today I was just on the bike. You would know, because you did the time trial with your athlete, Will. I thought it was a crosswind. I don't know, whatever.
It was.
Just never seemed to be a tailwind, but it was challenging. But everyone, much to my delight and just my awe in other people, is they had a really good hard hit out, a great effort, really good. You get a really good training effect, so a really good therapeutic benefit from the effort. And a lot of the girls have come out with that sense of excitement for what's up ahead next.
Yeah, and it's that practice of getting into, you know, it's not a race, but that different level to a time, to a session, a regular Tuesday or Thursday, or, you know, even a Saturday session. It's just, you know, you do get the nerves and you do feel like I'm driving a bit further for this than I don't usually do. And inadvertently you're going to feel a little bit of pressure. And with you, and I guess as yourself as a coach and as an athlete, like with those nerves when you've done time trials, races, you know, is there anything that you kind of utilize?
Yeah, I always try and put it in perspective. So just break it down to as simple as I can possibly make it. So if that was me today, I would, 10K is such a KPI, I reckon. Mm. 10K is just laced with, this is going to tell you everything. And it's such a stupid thing, but I've always had that in my head about the 10K. It always makes me nervous.
Yeah.
But I would have tried to really break that down and said to myself, well, we haven't had many of these opportunities. Mm. A few months ago, we couldn't even run with another person.
Yeah.
It's just an opportunity to get out there. If it was me, the athlete, I'd never met my coach before. I said, it's super simple. I'm going along. I'm going to eyeball this person for the first time. I'm going to meet some of the other athletes who I've never met before. Mm. Sophie seems to assure me like it's just a training session, and just simplify it so much to then go, so what am I worried about? What can I possibly be afraid of if it's just a training run, la-di-da-di-da, I haven't run with anyone for a long time. X number of months ago, we didn't even know if we'd be able to do these. You just break it down and then they're left with the question, what is there to worry about? Mm. And usually the answer is there's not much.
Yeah.
And inherently, like if you any sort of distance runner, you've probably remembered your last niggle. It could have been a week ago. It could have been 3 months ago, but you always know what you were last recovering from. And I always think, remember when I had that, you know, tender Achilles tendon and I couldn't run, or I'm not in pain. And I always just try and think of some of those,
frame it as
positive and go, remember when you were desperate to run, but you had that lateral knee pain that you couldn't get out there, and just go, okay, so again, that question, what are you worried about? What can possibly go wrong? And then you get to the bottom and you go, well, there's nothing to worry about, you know?
Yeah. No, I love that attitude. It's like, when you're injured and you drive past someone running, and you're just like, I just want to be able to run for 30 seconds, you know? embracing the opportunity and embracing that chance to just test yourself, but also knowing, you know, that it's not the last race you'll ever do or the last opportunity. So I guess that's another thing I know with Will, because he wasn't, you know, we weren't trying to run a PB today, but we wanted to put ourselves out there and actually run a really strong hit out. And I think that attitude of just, this is a chance to test ourselves, but again, there's probably going to be another 4 or 5 10Ks in the next 6 months that we'll target. So, you know, you're always going to get up. It's like when you do a, you know, you have a hard training session and it doesn't go well on a Tuesday, but then you go, well, okay, I'm going to have another go on one on Saturday or Thursday or wherever your next session is, and you get another chance.
Absolutely. Yep, for sure.
Switching gears, because you are also a very busy lady as a podiatrist as well at the Fitzroy Foot and Ankle Clinic.
Yep.
And I thought I would jag you on here also to help out with a listener question that was above Maddie and I's pay grade in regards to plantar fasciitis.
Oh, good. Yeah, sure. Yeah, hit me.
Yeah, so it's from Shane. He's based in Perth. He's training for the Gold Coast Marathon.
Right.
He said he's got some symptoms, plantar. I think he's done a bit of Dr. Google in there. And I guess his question is just said that, can I still keep running with my plantar fasciitis?
Okay, right. Shane, WA. Okay, training for a marathon. Hopefully you're getting some kind of guidance. And if you are, I'm thinking that if you are training for a marathon, Gold Coast is 4 months out, you're probably doing reasonable mileage. That would be my assumption. Firstly, I would say to Shane, I do hope you've got your diagnosis correct. And I'm going to go with the idea that you have nailed the diagnosis. If it was Dr. Google, for listeners out there, pain on the bottom of the foot isn't always plantar fasciitis. There's, you know, plantar heel pain is quite an umbrella term for a number of pathologies that sit around the sole of the foot. So let's pretend Shane has got an accurate diagnosis and he is suffering from plantar fasciitis, which can be diagnosed sonographically. So an ultrasound and thickening of the plantar fascia would be consistent with that. Although in clinic, usually it doesn't take too much to separate plantar fasciitis from a number of other plantar heel pain or plantar heel presenting pathology. So there's just a disclaimer that let's roll with he's got an accurate diagnosis. I imagine he's doing reasonably high mileage. I certainly hope he is if he wants to be well prepared for Gold Coast. The answer is, Shane, yes, you can continue to run with plantar fasciitis. You can indeed. And I manage a lot of patients in the clinic every day. I sometimes say to people, I think we could close our business for every other pathology except plantar fasciitis and we'd still tick along. Like, it's so common. Like, we see a lot of that. And the answer is yes, you can run with it, but you must be managing it effectively. And a really effective management strategy involves a multifactorial management plan. And that will start with a podiatrist, a sports physician, a physiotherapist. If it's a physio, certainly someone who's really, really confident in the lower limb and foot, and there are plenty of those, no doubt about it, or a podiatrist or sports doctor, potentially. Probably not your GP. Your GP is a great starting point, but probably not your GP for your very close management of plantar fasciitis. And under that multifactorial management plan, you certainly want to have had your everyday shoes and your runners, so the shoes you wear for sessions and easy runs and races, all really carefully assessed. You want to have had your biomechanics, so your locomotion, the way you walk and run and move, assessed. You want to have had a thorough history taken. You want to have considered with your practitioner guiding the decision-making, the potential for orthotic therapy or some kind of therapy to shift your foot posture, to offload your plantar or put your plantar in a better position to function. You want to have possibly experimented with taping. You want to be under some kind of probably cryotherapy or ice therapy regime. And you certainly want to be doing some lower limb stretch, flexibility, mobility exercises on a regular basis. So if you're doing all those things under the close guidance of a practitioner who's seeing you regularly, possibly also administering shockwave therapy, you know, as well as other treatment modalities, then yes, that's where I say you can continue to run. If you've Googled it, you think you've got plantar fasciitis, and now you're listening to me say, yes, you can continue to run, I'd almost say without a multifactorial management strategy in place, I'd be very, very careful. And I'd say probably not without that management in place. But if you've seen someone, we know from a lot of study of the plantar fascia tissue, running on it, it's not likely you're going to rupture the plantar fascia. So nothing, I don't think, extremely traumatic is going to happen to you. Certainly nothing extremely traumatic, but nothing terribly bad for your foot. But in the absence of all those things I talked about, my personal opinion is no, don't go running on it, because you don't have the strategies in place to manage the pathology and certainly not to manage your symptoms. But when the assessment's taken place and all those things are floating around, very, very few of my plantar patients are not running.
Okay. So, yeah. So with that guidance and that plan in place, generally you can get going again.
100%.
All left in, yeah. So no, you don't typically see a lot of runners just being told just to stop. You want to keep them moving.
Absolutely. We keep them moving. Yep. If it wasn't Shane, if it was Betty from Bendigo and Betty wasn't training for Gold Coast and Betty was running 5 days a week and doing 50K, I would probably deload Betty. I would be saying, let's do 30K. Yeah. Let's include a gym session and a pool. Let's get you deloaded. I don't want to take you running away from you. I'll never do that. But let's deload you a little bit and see how you go. It's a different story when someone has a really set, structured, directional goal like Gold Coast Marathon.
Yeah.
It's a slightly different conversation. That's why everything is framed person to person and individualized. That's individualization. But as I said, if there wasn't that goal on the horizon, I would be deloading. I wouldn't be saying stop, but I don't think marathon training, because that accumulative compressive force load stress through the heel has what has brought on your symptoms. So the body's sort of saying, I'm overloaded right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the instance of as I said, if you've got that management strategy or technique in place, multifactorial, there's no reason why you can't run.
Great stuff. Great stuff, Soph. I'm sure Shane will be appreciative, and hopefully, yes, he is getting that extra guidance and professional help. But yeah, definitely very informative there, Soph.
Cool.
Thank you for that. Let's just move on to your own running, because I think I'm trying to, you did a takeover episode with Gemma and Maddie.
Yep.
That was last year in the midst of lockdown, I reckon it was.
Still worse. Lockdown, yeah.
Yeah, maybe we're just coming out of it. And I know you were running a bit then, obviously, but without any kind of real races that were on the calendar for anyone. I guess it was we're all in a bit of no man's land. But yourself now, how are you traveling?
Yeah, good, Zacha. I'm going pretty well. I will probably see Shane up on the Gold Coast. I'm hoping to do the half in July.
That's fine. Yep.
Which will be cool. I just want to have a really strong half hit out. It's funny, I haven't done a marathon for, well, it's funny. I was talking to Ellie and Sinead this morning because Nagoya was run this morning, Nagoya Women's Marathon. And that's the last time I did. And that's 2 years ago. So it's weird. I haven't run a marathon for 2 years. But it feels like one. It feels like 1 year since I ran a marathon.
Last year was just everyone sort of blocked it out, haven't they?
I've already forgotten half the pain, so that means it's a while ago. But it definitely doesn't feel like 2 years ago, which is weird. I don't have that absolute burning itch to toe a marathon line now or like in the next little bit. But I'd love to get on the start line at Gold Coast, so July.
They've changed the time, haven't they?
Yeah, so it's now the Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the marathon taking that slot of Sunday 6 a.m.
Mm.
Yeah, so I mean, hopefully I have a good run on Saturday, but yeah, definitely be out on the course to watch how the marathon unfolds, because it'll be different this year with such a change. It'll be such a more domestic race than international. So that's sort of what I'm looking at the moment. I mean, we talked briefly this morning with a couple of the crew down at Albert Park about some of the XCR. I did actually even ask you. I asked you, when does it start? I didn't even know. But I will jump in for the old Zavs. I run for the old Zavarians in the women's team and jump in and do a little bit of XCR. I don't know if Glenn Turner listens to this podcast. I didn't miss it last year. I don't think Glenn Turner's going to lose much sleep over me missing his events. I didn't miss it. I really didn't. And I think that's the result of, I've been running the AV series since I was in year 10 at high school. And I've probably had a couple of years where I didn't do heaps of the events, but I reckon I've done at least one or two AV races over the winter since 2003. Yeah. So I just didn't miss it. And I'm not craving to get back there. I love the Zavs. I love getting out there with them and I'm looking forward to seeing them, but I 100% did not miss it last year. And, I'll get out and do a few of those races, but at the moment until sort of, I guess we're over the first quarter of the year, but coming up to that. So, just looking ahead to the middle of the year, Gold Coast half.
I feel
like things are tracking pretty well. Like I'm feeling really healthy. I had a really specific goal last year of just, I'd had a niggly proximal hamstring tendinopathy at my left hamstring that had bugged me. And then I got over it. And then I got really greedy and ramped my training up when I thought I was going to be doing Chicago in 2020. And as things do, when you get complacent with your strengthening exercises and you get greedy with your training, it literally came back to bite me on the bum. And that's exactly where they bite you, those things. I'd never had a chronic injury like that. I'd never experienced chronic tendinopathy of any description. And it was a real challenge. Like I would take a metatarsal stress fracture or anything over that. I think I would actually take a sacral stress fracture.
At least you know it's... When you've done the course and it's your back kind of thing and something lingering around. How about your week? So you're starting to rack up the Ks. Do you want to give us a bit of a Monday to Sunday?
Yep.
How you're traveling on that front?
Yeah, cool. So I'll give you what I do every morning of the week.
Yeah.
I do my main session of a morning and then I'll just at the end I'll just fill in when I double.
Hmm.
So Monday morning is an easy sort of hour to 70 minutes. I usually head out around Yarrabend Park because I live in East Melbourne. Takes me about 3K to get down to Yarra Bend. and just jog around there at sort of 4:30, 4:40 pace, so nice and cruisy.
Do you go on the trail or do you go like the single trail there, or do you just use the
little bit more the stuff that you would, that the walkers go on, and most of it a bike could go along, put it that way. Not a road bike, like a, you know, hybrid. Because a lot of it's the gravel, but that's not
single.
But then every now and then, maybe about every fourth week, I'll go on that real goat trail section. Monday morning, like I'm not, like I'm too tired. Like to
You got me switched on for that. It's a bit technical for me.
Great for perineal strengthening though. So people who need to stabilize and develop the strength and stability around their ankle joint, those sorts of trails are so good for you. So that's Monday. Tuesday, I do my first session of the week. I've been going up to Prinny quite a lot, actually. I've been a lot, and it's sort of a combination of, say, 4x5 minute with 2 minute jog, 6x3 minute. I might do K reps. I might do a modification of a fartlek. Just something pretty stock standard.
So you're doing that before work, early morning?
So I get up. My dream is like alarm between say 6 and 6:15, and out the door 20 minutes after the alarm, and then gone for like hour and a half something. When I like my warm up to the start of my session is about 30 seconds. I don't do drills and strides. Get straight into it.
Like, marathoner. I'm the same.
Yeah, I don't have time. I could sleep and I need the recovery.
Yeah.
So, and then once I stop the session, I literally take about 30 seconds and then I get into the warm down and I just start my warm down super slow.
Yeah.
So the first half of the warm down is literally recovering from the session, and then it's just the trip home. So when I'm out the door for 90 minutes, it's pretty much running for an hour 28, you know.
Yeah.
So that's Tuesday. Wednesday, I do a medium long run, and I've really mixed up sort of where I go with that, to be honest. Sometimes I do a bit of Elwood Park or the Tan at sort of the inner south. Sometimes I do a lot of the river, to be honest. I might go back up to Yarrabend and do a different loop to Monday, a bit around Faulkner. I actually just wake up on a Wednesday and just decide where I'm going to run, and that's usually about 80, 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. Again, probably 4:30s, maybe 4:20s, 4:30s.
Yeah.
Thursday, I tend to just do like a 10 miler, like a 16K, 14 to 16K. Depending on where I've gone Wednesday, I'll just go somewhere completely different. And that's usually, it's usually pretty cruisy pace, but I tend to just sort of pick it up a little bit at the end just to get into a nice sort of 405, 410 group towards the end.
Yeah.
And then just recently, I've just started either doing a Friday or a Saturday. Almost like a modified session, because for so long last year, I was only doing one workout a week. Like nothing to train for. I was just keeping fit. And really just trying to manage, as I said, keep healthy and everything. So a real staple of mine on, you know, a Friday or Saturday, depending on what day I do it, is the session around the Fitzroy Gardens. Mm. It's a 2.5 kilometer effort, because that's 5 sides of a 4-sided park, if that makes sense. And so it's a 7.5K workout with a 500 meter jog between each 2.5K effort, which is a net uphill. There's one long downhill, but it's a net uphill of the repeat. Mm-hmm. And I try and do a bit of a longer cool down after that, like about a 7 or 8K cool down. Mm-hmm. And then if that was a Friday, Saturday's just a really easy jog, say 10K or vice versa. And then Sunday, I've just been doing my long run and getting the long run up to sort of, I'm tapping into 2 hours at the moment.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Not going too crazy because, you know, my goal is Gold Coast. So,
yeah. So you want to keep a bit of speed in there as well without getting too far into the 2-hour 30 long runs.
And yeah, because what happens is, you know, I just don't have the fitness where if I do those whopping long runs, I'm still tired on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday session suffers and then around we go again. So yeah, that's sort of, I haven't felt the need to go crazy with long runs at the moment.
Yeah. And you're staying local for the long run. You're not going up Fernie Creek or staying on.
I haven't for, I haven't been to Fernie for over 12 months actually. Yeah. So yeah, I just run out the door.
Yeah. It's interesting. There's been a bit of a change in that sort of, I don't know, the traditional, there's still people going up there, and I think they'll
maybe winter we'll see a few more go there, but I think a lot are still kind of staying local or flat and just going out the door and knowing that maybe it's more time efficient that way, and the recovery benefits of being able to just do it and not have to sit in the car on the way back and all the rest of it. So
yeah,
and it's their own.
Like, sorry to interrupt you, but rehabbing a proximal hamstring, like the last thing you should do is just sit on it.
Sit in a car for another hour.
Over an hour for me. It's probably not actually that. It's all in my head. Like, it's all in my head, because you just, anyone who's had this injury just knows how bad that prolonged periods of sitting is. And I'm fine now, but just the thought of it, like, I've had, it just doesn't. But look, I might actually try and get up there a bit more. I love ferning in the autumn. It's just so beautiful in the autumn.
Nice. Yeah, it is good when you do a lot of runs around. We're in the similar neck of the woods, and it's great. We're blessed with the position we can just go and run in so many different places. But yeah, when you get up to Fernie, it is pretty amazing to go up there.
Yeah. And then with my doubles, I've just been, it's more just time. Like, I try and slot in 3 by 30 minute easy jogs a week. And I'm not very scientific about where they slide in. Sometimes it's sort of a Monday, Thursday, Saturday, and sometimes it's never Sunday. I guess seldom Wednesday, but I kind of just fit them in. It just depends. And if they get done, they get done. And if they don't, they definitely don't. Last year, I wasn't really doubling because I just really thought the most important thing is to utilize that time for strength. Or just, you know, rehab. It wasn't really even strength and conditioning. It was just my rehab exercises. And there was just no need. Like, there was just no need. I just needed to be healthy and fit last year. I didn't need to be going crazy. That was my priority. Everyone was different. That was my perspective. So, just a couple of doubles, maybe a few doubles when they get done.
Yeah. And managing the body, is there any extra things you're doing to help keep in one piece?
Yeah, good question. We're blessed. We live in an apartment complex. We've got a really well-resourced gym downstairs. We also have a very, we reckon we live in a retirement village. There's so many old folk and they don't use the gym. So I go in there, I turn the TV on, I'm by myself. It's really got a lot of good equipment. There's no excuse for me.
Yeah.
So the body is, just doing my glute hamstring strengthening exercises is important. Obviously foam roller. I have a very basic, and I mean basic as in the exercises aren't glamorous. There's nothing special to them. It's what everyone else does. Just for core stabilizing and strength.
Yeah.
And then I really love yoga. I've done yoga for so many years now. And in the COVID period, in the absence of being able to attend yoga studios, I downloaded the Down Dog app, and it's changed my life. I love it. So I'm going to the gym because there's no distractions, and I select my style of yoga and you know, time I want to go do it for, and the voice I want to hear telling me what to do, and the music, and I do yoga, and it's so good for my mind as well.
Sounds like you've got the right mix at the moment, and great to hear.
Gone okay.
Good stuff. And you're obviously always got your eye on athletics in Australia, and there's been some big meets, some big results coming through. What have you been loving of late? Like, some performances or some athletes that you've sort of caught your eye?
Yeah, I've been loving just being proven wrong, because I'm just messing up all my predictions. Like, I never have thought Jenny Blundell would be the Australian champion over 5K. Yes,
last night that was an amazing run, wasn't it?
Yeah. Josh and I were out for dinner actually, and I didn't get to watch it, but I just asked Sinead, I said, can you just drop a message in the group text? I just want 1, 2, 3 in their times.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no offense to Jenny, but I was like, Jenny, like, I just didn't think. And that's where I'm wrong. Like, I'm so wrong. But I didn't think Izzy Bat Doyle would run 15:11 and, you know, be in front of, I mean, we know Genevieve, this is at Box Hill last week or 2 weeks ago, but just Rose pulled out, and that was different circumstances. But I didn't have Izzy place to do that. So I was wrong. I'm being proven wrong, and maybe I'm not following it closely enough, or maybe things are happening a little bit. I think it's unpredictable. It's an unpredictable pace, because essentially probably 4 girls, 5 girls on that line last night, all were the the quality and caliber to have won the race, and it's unpredictable, and that's what I'm loving the most. It's really hard to pick.
Do you think obviously last year the lack of racing, people went into these big training blocks, were so hungry to race, and there was probably, they weren't stunted in their blocks in that they had to race every few weeks or whatever. They were able to get these big blocks together, and then now that races have opened up, it's like, wow, this is a big opportunity. On top of that, it's still an Olympic year. Even though it's a bizarre year, and you're still technically going ahead, and so these performances just seem to pop up when there's that carrot of an Olympics.
I think what you say is so right, and it absolutely comes down to really strategic quality coaching, because last year there was a fork. You could have gone in two directions.
Yeah.
Absolutely nailed the opportunity to bunker down, get some really good training done, nail the one percenters and grow so much in that space without travel, distractions, constant taper, recovering from races, the highs and the lows, the emotional stress of racing, and really just, drink all that benefit in, or completely overcooked yourself.
Yeah.
Completely overcooked yourself. Mm-hmm. And then it's just, this year could have been one steady string after another of injuries, for athletes who weren't personally well managed and then well managed by a coach or manager. So I think we are seeing, certainly reaping the harvest of people who did it right, and that's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. And then marathon, we're still waiting to see what happens there. It's been an ongoing theme for Maddie and I. And I know you might have checked in on our late a couple of weeks ago. We had Miles Goff on from Run Creature. And we were talking, the women's the marathon trial, and particularly the women's is of interest as well, where that potential, it's still, we're still waiting to see if that goes ahead, and they're sort of running out of time, aren't they?
I found this whole Sydney trial race perplexing, absolutely perplexing. I think there's a high level of unprofessionalism about it.
Yeah.
I don't think it reeks of fairness and justice. Mm. I think it's a really strange, strange thing to do. I think it's an odd thing to do. I think it's been poorly organized, poorly discussed. I'm a 2:42 marathoner. Like, I wasn't expecting anyone knocking on my door asking me to come to Sydney, but I think if you're not opening that kind of opportunity up to women who have run, say, up to 2:50, how are you building any kind of field? Like, it's such an elitist thing, but then in making it so elite, it's sort of, I think, shot itself in the foot a little bit.
Yeah.
I think there's been a drastic lack of communication, an enormous amount of lack of transparency. Mm. I have no idea, absolutely no concept as to why they couldn't be transparent about it. And transparency is in lots of information, lots of dialogue, lots of plenty of notice. I mean, I told Sinead a couple of weeks ago that it was the 25th. She thought it was the 18th. Yeah. Now, granted, she's not racing it, so she's probably being pulled from some comms.
Yeah.
She's our sitting duck in the number one place, if you want to put it like that. And I'm telling her in March when this race is in April.
Mm.
Like, it's a huge fault of AA, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
And I find the whole thing to be bizarre. I think it's a really strange, strange thing to do, because there are opportunities. Everyone's had an opportunity throughout 2020 and 2021 to post times. Mm. There has not been a lack of opportunity. And I don't even know who's behind it. And that's not important. I don't know who's running this show. But to me, the complete lack of transparency, organization, honesty, that sense of being up front, absent. And I think that's a huge fault of theirs.
Yeah. And it's scary in a sport, in this sport where, it needs to get more professional. This is happening at a level of like organizing an under 12s,
netball games.
But this is a spot for the Olympics. And there is people that are, in the loop, not in the loop, don't know what's going on. I mean, it's comical in this day and age of the communication that you can actually put out there, that athletes, even yourself, and I know a lot of other male guys, they weren't going to run the qualifier. But if there was a purpose around it, this is an opportunity for elite, sub-elite to get together and have a race and run as best as they could. And maybe it'll help them for races in the future that they haven't been given this any transparency or any sort of visibility as to this race. It's just
nothing.
It's bizarre.
I just find the whole thing really odd. I find it so strange. And I know it's got, you can't compare it to the US marathon.
No,
it's a completely different setup, strategy, everything's different. But can you imagine, I mean, over in the States, for example, and again, I'm not comparing them. I'm just using this as an example of where something, okay, 4 years in advance, the date's chosen, the city's chosen, the course is chosen, everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
And yes, everything's resting on their race. So it's got to be that way.
Mm.
But, you know, they just use that as such a foundation to grow the sport. And here I feel like this is all Chinese whispers.
Yeah.
It depends who you know and whose email you've got as to how much information you get. Like it reeks of the most, the utmost unprofessionalism.
Yeah.
And I listened to one of my patients, he cracked me up. He runs the Fitzroy Junior Football Club. And I tell you what, he's the most organized, organized system.
Yeah.
And I compare the under nines running out at Fitzroy this week compared to Athletics Australia.
Yeah.
Spot for the Australian Olympic team in about 3 or 4 months' time, and it's like a children's circus.
We don't want to come on and bash the sport, and we don't want to be negative, but it's just, this is just the thing that I guess highlights where the sport needs to look at it and say, well, if you're going to be a fair and equitable sport, you can't be continuing this sort of set up. And it'll be very interesting if we even see this race and how that goes. I know it'll be a big talking point. I mean, we may not even see it. It may not be a stream. It may just be see how we're going to see a result. But anyway, there is let's just see what happens there. But there is some like you touched on earlier, Gold Coast is going to be pretty cool having that domestic field. Canberra, Hobart, there's road races. You saw the bridge run. And then, you know, Tassie are doing a great job. It is this sort of rebound or bounce back from what we had last year. It's it is exciting for us all runners to sort of have those opportunities to race again.
There are, absolutely. And they're just like they were, you know, they're just like they were. I'm sure Richard Welsh and the organisers of these races wouldn't say they're just like they were because of all the COVID safe parameters.
Yeah.
Everything they've got to abide by, and hats off to them. But certainly from an outsider's point of view, like observing these races and all that, they just feel like, you know, you really feel running's back. Running's back. And that's so exciting. It's so good. Yeah.
Do you feel just finally as we wrap up, when you've now locked that race in for Gold Coast, or at least, you know, put it in the calendar, is that give you that extra bounce out of bed knowing that that's in the, you know, 16 weeks or whatever it is?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have I don't have any problem with getting up and going running. Like that just, it's before, like I think about it when I'm 15 minutes in and I can't remember from the alarm until I'm 15 minutes in. It's all just automatic.
Yeah.
So there's no issues with getting up, but where I pull up my socks is those days where I'm like, oh, I don't know, maybe I won't do Fitzroy Gardens. Maybe I'll just do an easy 50 minutes. Like it's so beneficial, and I blah, blah to myself. Mm. And I'm like, well, yeah, you can go do that. Or if you really want to run a PB at Gold Coast, you're going to have to do this workout and you're going to have to do it pretty well. You know, so it's those moments. Or getting on the track, which I hate and I find confronting even after all these years. And I'm like, well, you lack speed in a very significant way. There's only one way that's going to change. And so instead of just going for a run, I will do a track session. So, yeah, there's those accountability now.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely.
You've got to be a good you got to sell to yourself a lot as a runner. I think you've got to cut deals and you've got to just 100%. Be a salesman where you say, yeah, okay, you want to do this, then this is not going to happen. And, you know, these are the benefits and you just have to.
I would love to read the dialogue that comes out of a runner's brain at this moment. It would be such great content.
That's that wave of emotion you go through even in a, you know, in a 10K time trial like this morning, you know.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, it's been great catching up, Soph. And I know the listeners love hearing whenever you jump on podcast, whether it's on here or Inside Running. And great to catch up. So
thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. Keep running, everyone. And again, thanks for joining me this morning. And as we mentioned, we look forward to doing a few more things like that and bringing the community together.
Absolutely, Soph. I'll see you out on the trails.
Good on you. Thanks, Zaka. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Better With Running podcast. We really hope you enjoyed hearing Maddie and I with our training update as we head into the Gold Coast Marathon. I guess we toed and froed about how much we'd go into each week with our training. We probably both found it might have been a bit self-indulgent, but talking about our own running, as when we started this podcast, we really wanted to be about, you know, informing other runners about training tips and I guess shining a light on our athletes in the Runs BB community. But I guess in this instance now, we're both leading up to Gold Coast, we thought it'd be a good opportunity to take you on the journey as well. So we'll continue to do that weekly. I guess I hope from that sort of standpoint, it assists your training or running, and you can sort of see the progress and the highs and lows of a marathon build up. But yeah, definitely, if you've got any questions about our preparation, please shoot them through on our socials. We'd be more than happy to answer them. I also trust you enjoyed Sophie back on the airwaves. Sophie Fitch, she's always so informative and knowledgeable, and yeah, so very approachable about all running related questions, whether that's training, women's health, or podiatry related. So yeah, definitely shoot her a DM, and she will definitely come back to you. Finally, yeah, thanks to Oat Running for giving us a chance to test drive their performance socks. Always fun to try something new and different, and yeah, you can definitely check them out on www.oatrunning.com. That's about it. As always, yeah, you can follow us on the socials at Run2BB for more updates. We've got some exciting interviews in the pipeline, and we've managed to nail down Sammy the Shoe Dog McLean for Shoe Chat in the coming weeks. Lots of new shoes dropping, so it'll be great to hear his thoughts on those. But for now, thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your run.